What a wonderful privilege it is to be here again tonight and see all of your faces. This must have been the kind of service that fellow was in who said, if something don't happen pretty soon, something's going to happen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's wonderful to know that the Lord's eyes are still over the righteous. And his ear is still open to their prayer. I've certainly enjoyed the convention this year. I want to thank Brother Stricker and those that are responsible for inviting us here again this year. Thank you for your provisions for us. May the Lord bless you for that. And I really appreciate the messages that's been preached in the day services. Today was no exception, a wonderful, wonderful day. Started out this morning with a wonderful message from Brother Dovell right here. And then Brother Callicott just outdid himself today preaching. And then this afternoon, Brother Paul Wiley preached us a holiness message. And Brother Bill Prescott preached us a holiness message. Oh, yes, Brother Prescott's message was just as much a holiness message as Brother Wiley's message was holiness. And we need all of the gospel. You know, as I travel across the country, I have to be compatible because people worship in different ways. And I must be honest with you, people's beliefs are different, those opinions that Brother Bill preached about. Some places I go, they're real tight on one thing and loose on something else. And then when I go somewhere else, they're loose on the thing they was tight on over here, or vice versa. And then over here, they're tightening down on something else. And really, we must stay with this book. I remember Brother Joe Dunn, Brother Paul Wiley knows him. He's the kind of fellow that you'd have your foot already in his trap and start taking it out before you realize he had a trap set for you. He's gone on now, but he was a wonderful man, a wonderful Christian preacher. One brother was telling him, said, Brother Joe, said, I'm pastor now. One thing I'm not going to have, I'll never let a man in my pulpit that belongs to an organization or wears a necktie. That's two things I'm going to stand on. Joe said, well, the Bible said, preach the word. He said, it sure does. Joe said, what's that again now you're not going to allow? He said, I'm not going to let nobody that belongs to an organization fill my pulpit or no one that wears a necktie. Joe said, well, that's thing to do now. I said, that's what the Bible says. Thou shalt not let a preacher preach in a pulpit that belongs to an organization, and thou shalt not let a preacher preach that wears a necktie. This brother said, Brother Joe said, the Bible don't say nothing about a man preaching that belongs to an organization or a man preaching that wears a necktie. Joe said, you're getting the message now. Preach the word. Amen. Hallelujah. And so everywhere I go, I find so many differences. And yet to know that we have been redeemed out of the hand of the enemy, to know that our names are written in the Lamb's book of life, to know that the blood makes us clean and pure in the sight of the Lord, that's what we're to rejoice about. Because our names are written in the book of life. I do not believe in fellowshipping sin. I'm not going to do it. But my Bible said, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. But if it's just opinions, as Brother Prescott said, let us do our best to love one another with love unfeigned. They tell me there was a man by the name of Napoleon who was a general, General Napoleon. They said he had a man in his army whose name was also Napoleon. This other man in his army by the name of Napoleon was a man of low character. He'd steal, do a lot of other things. And someone reported him to General Napoleon. He called him in before him and said, "Is your name Napoleon?" He said, "Yes, it is, same as yours." And he said, "Well, I've heard about you and your reputation. And the reason I've called you in, you either change your ways or change your name." And there's some folks out there calling themselves Christians. I wish they'd either change their ways or change their name. Preferably they change their ways. Amen. They were called Christians first at Antioch. Thank you for the offering. The Lord bless you. We'll get right into the Word of God. Once again, would you stand and ask God to anoint us and help us tonight? Hallelujah. God bless you tonight. You may be seated. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy, his epistle to Timothy, chapter 2, verse number 8, Paul said, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." In the book of Judges, chapter 13, verse 24, chapter 13, verse number 24, the Bible said, "And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol." Chapter 14. "And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, 'I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife.' Then his father and his mother said unto him, 'Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines?' And Samson said unto his father, 'Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well.' But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then Samson went down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared out against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talk with the woman, and she pleased Samson well." Bible readers and those that are familiar with the life of Samson knows that even his birth was a supernatural feat from God. For God appeared to Manoah's wife, and later on appeared to Manoah, gave instructions concerning this man Samson, that he would be a Nazarite from his birth. When Samson was born, it was a miracle child. And the Bible said, as a young man, the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan. If there's anything that's better than having godly parents, it is to have the Spirit of the Lord to move you. Oh, godly parents is a great heritage, but unless you follow suit, that will not do you much good. But as a young man, when the Spirit of the Lord was moving on the elders only, Samson, as a young man, enjoyed the presence and the power and the Spirit of the Lord moving him at times. The Bible said that he went down by the vineyards of Timnath, and he saw there among the Philistines a woman that pleased him. He come back home and spoke to his father and mother and said, "Get me that woman for wife, for she pleaseth me well." His parents, oh, they put up a little bit of resistance and said, "You mean there's no women here, no girls here? Kind of like some of our boys in the Holiness Church. They overlook some of the most beautiful girls in the world to go out into the world searching for something else. You'll never find a more beautiful girl than the one that's been made beautiful by salvation." Did you hear what I said? The one that's been made beautiful by salvation. But Samson went down, told his parents that, "I found her now. I want you to go with me and get her. Make the arrangements as was the custom in that day. Amen. I want to bring this woman back." His parents knew not that it was of the Lord and an occasion of the Lord. And after a while, they gave in to Samson's desire. And the Bible said they started down toward the camp of the Philistines. I don't know how they got separated from the company, but evidently Samson was either ahead of his parents or lagged behind his parents. And as they passed the vineyards of Timnath, the Bible said a young lion roared out against Samson. And he took that lion and rent him apart as he would a kid or a little goat. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came mightily on Samson, and he rent that lion as he would rend a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. I want to preach tonight on the power of empty hands. The power of empty hands. Here's Zechariah the prophet say, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." This man had nothing in his hand. Not a sword, no type of weapon, not even a stick. And I think it's better that he did not have anything in his hand. For you see, when you have something in your hand, you realize, or you think at least, that your sufficiency is of yourself. But whenever he had nothing to depend upon, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, he took empty hands and slew that lion as he would slay a kid. Listen to me. Listen to me. And the Bible said that he had how much? Nothing in his hand. Oh, glory. The power of empty hands. I came to tell the church And I came to tell you preachers that we've got too much in our hands. I said we've got too much in our hands. I came to tell you, amen, that we have too many things that we're depending upon rather than the Spirit and the power of Almighty God. When an evangelist goes to seek a revival, in many cases today, the first thing they want to know is, what Bible school did you go to? Come on now. And I'm not against Bible schools. And I'm not against these brethren with using their talents for the Lord. They want to know how many musical instruments you can play. Who do you have papers with? Amen. How many credentials do you have? And how many volumes of books do you have? But let me tell you, when I was pastoring a church, I was looking for a man that had empty hands, but knew how to let the Spirit and the power of Almighty God use him in the church. Hallelujah. I said there is power in empty hands. My text said that Samson had nothing in his hands, and he rent that lion as he would rend a kid. Oh, listen to me tonight. If we ever expect to accomplish the purpose that God intended for the church, we're going to have to empty our hands back out of the programs of men and the sufficiency of men, and realize that our sufficiency is of God and God alone. Woo! Oh yeah, I see I'm going to have to prove to you that there's power in empty hands. Hallelujah. Oh yes, evangelist, I'm glad you're doing well. But I remember, amen, when they was not doing so good. Oh yes, if someone has said to me when I started out preaching, amen, I got to get me a fifth wheel, and I'd have thought they're speaking in a foreign language of some kind. Amen. Had to have this and that and serve so many suits, but so many pairs of shoes before I could launch out into the ministry. Let me tell you something. Amen. The reason some of you are not doing very much for God, you've got too much in your hands. Some preachers are holding on to real estate, holding on to their good jobs, amen, holding on to this world's materialistic things. No wonder they can't do much for God. You need to empty your hands out so God can take your life by His Spirit and use you. In the 17th chapter of the book of Exodus, the Bible says that Amalek came up against the children of Israel. Oh yes. And Israel began to fight against the children of Amalek. But Moses stood up on that mountain, and as he stood there and lifted up empty hands, as long as he had those hands lifted, Israel prevailed. But when his hands became weary and he dropped his hands to the side, amen, Brother Strickler, amen, the Amalekites began to win the battle. But oh, when Moses would gain strength, he had nothing in his hands, but he was lifting up holy hands unto God without wrath or doubting. And as long as he held his hands up, Israel would win. Had two men there with him. Come out here, Brother Stricker. Had two men there with him, one by the name of Aaron and one by the name of Hur. One preacher preached Aaron and his wife Hur. Amen. Anyhow, amen, they saw what was going on. They saw there was power in those empty hands. And they saw the enemy was prevailing when those empty hands were down. So one of them, my brother, come here. One of them took Moses and set him down. Hallelujah. And one of them got on one side and lifted up that empty hand. And then another got on this side and lifted up that empty hand. And with those empty hands lifted, amen, God prevailed over the children of Amalek and gave Israel the victory. I'm telling you, there is power in empty hands. And God said, write this in a book for a memorial. We've got the record of it. Power in empty hands. Let's go on. Oh, you can let them down now. But oh, listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. When God called me to preach, nobody'd ever heard of Don Rich. I had no invitations. I had nobody wanting me to preach. But I knew God had called me to preach. And so I'd visit different churches. See your Bible there. And I'd walk in like this, carrying my Bible up high, just in case they needed a preacher. I want them to know I was a preacher. But I'd get no invitations. Go home disappointed, go visit another church, carry that Bible up high, hoping somebody would ask me if I was a preacher and ask me to preach. And nobody would seem to ask me to preach. One night my wife shocked me. She said, did you say God had called you to preach? I said, yes. She said, when are you going to start preaching then? And I said, well, I've been visiting here and visiting there, and nobody seems to want me. But in the night, God dealt with my heart. I got up the next morning and loaded my little old truck. She said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to the mountains. I'm taking this quilt. I'm taking no food. I'm taking no water. What are you going to do? I'm going to fast and pray until I hear from God who called me to preach His word. I went to the mountain. She said, will you be back tonight? I said, I don't know. Will you be back tomorrow? I don't know. I went to the mountains and I fasted 4 days. And on the fifth day, amen, I touched the God of heaven who called me to preach. And He put an anointing upon my soul. Hallelujah. And that oil, brother, is still running down in my bosom tonight. I come home and I said, Sister Rich, get your cord in. I got my old guitar. She said, where are we going? I said, we're going to go preach. She said, did you get a place to preach? I said, I sure have. The Lord's let me know that everywhere I see a sinner man or a woman, amen, that can be my congregation. We went down on the streets of Pismo Beach, California. Amen. Went down in front of that pier. Over here is the ballroom. Amen. Over here is the Ferris wheel and all of these things. An arcade over here. The beach over there. And I told Sister Rich, I said, right here is where I'm going to preach. About that time, a policeman drove up and said, what are you going to do here? I said, I've been in the mountains praying, and God's got a hold of my heart, and I cannot preach in any of these churches around here, so I'm going to preach the gospel right here on this street. Policeman looked at me and he said, well, I'm not a Christian, but my mama was a holiness woman. If you want to preach, you preach. So, Sister Rich took that old accordion. I took that old guitar. Stepped out and I noticed we wasn't reaching out too far. And I had a little portable microphone and PA system in my trunk. And I got it out, but I had no electricity, amen, to operate that microphone and PA system. So I goes over to this tavern, this beer joint, and I knock on the door. The man inside said, come in. I didn't go in. Knocked again. come in. Sure, we're open. I didn't go in, but I knocked again. Finally come to the door, said, man, are you crazy? Said, we're open, come on in. I said, I don't want to come in. I'm getting ready to preach the gospel. I need power for my PA system. Here is my electric cord. He said, well, come on in and plug it in. I said, I am not coming in. You go plug it in and throw it out that window there. And that night the devil paid the electricity bill while I preached the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We didn't have no fancy sermons. We didn't have no fancy songs. But Sister Rich began to squeeze that accordion, and we stepped out with that old guitar and we began to sing the love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure. The saints and angels song, with nothing in our hands. People begin to come to hear us preach the word of God. I took that text where Pilate said, what shall I do then with this man that is called the Christ? I begin to walk that curb and preach with nothing in my hand. But brother, there was something in my soul. Even though my hands were empty, my soul was full. And something reached out in that little congregation that had assembled there. And at the conclusion of my message, here kneels a man at my feet and says, preacher, can that Jesus do anything for me? And my wife and I knelt there on that blacktop, and that's where we won our first soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, you don't have to have a lot of these things in your hand, but you do have to have the Spirit and the power of God. The power of empty hands. I'm going to move on close, hurriedly now. We was preaching down there again on another night. We began to go every Saturday night. When I rolled into the little town that night, policemen were everywhere. Upon the buildings were policemen with machine guns. And this policeman that I knew, who said his mother was holiness, drove over and said, preacher, you better not try to preach tonight. Said, the motorcycle gang called the Hell's Angels is just up the road here. And they're coming to Pismo Beach. So that's why we've got all these men stationed here. For you see, that motorcycle gang come into little towns and completely cleaned them out and left out, amen, with much violence. Did not spare nobody, took what they wanted and left. I said, if you don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and sing some songs and preach. He said, well, I'll tell you, it's my advice for you to leave. But he said, if you're determined, go ahead. I was determined. So we began to sing some songs, and folks began to gather around again. Then we heard the roar of the cycles as they rolled in, some of the most shaggiest, dirtiest looking fellas you ever seen, and women riding on those cycles. They rode up close to where we was at. And I was trying to preach, but my little microphone wouldn't reach over the sound of those mufflers. That one man sat there and just pumped, amen, those mufflers, pumped that gas to that motorcycle. Finally, he saw I was going to keep on preaching anyhow. Even though nobody could hear me, I was going to keep on preaching. So he got off of his cycle, walked over to where I was preaching. Big hairy fella reached out, Brother Lee, took my shirt and pulled it out. Took a cigarette he was smoking that was lit out of his lips and shoved it down my collar. Say, what did you do? I kept on preaching. Amen. I just had empty hands, but I kept on preaching. The Lord helped me. I don't know how I did it, but I got my shirt tail out without being indecently exposed. Shook that thing out without even being burned. Amen. Put it out with my foot and kept on preaching. And when I did, that man stood to his king and said, shut him down. And while I preached the gospel, the Hell's Angel stood over and said, over there on their cycles and listen to the word of God. I'll tell you what we need in this hour. It's been and women who will have the Spirit of the Lord to move upon them. We got too much in our hands. I said too much. The success of the early church was empty hands. They went everywhere preaching the word, God working with them, confirming his word with signs following. And after the day of Pentecost, in the fifth chapter of the